Hey, gang. We're on the scene. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Slattery, and I have with me today Don Advo. Don Advo, where are you from?
I'm from behind the lines in Mexican-occupied California. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Cool.
I'm never quite sure how to prompt you on that. That's your unique tagline. But of course, we're all occupied country. And today I was thinking we can talk about whatever you want, but I want to make sure we talk about the legal ramifications of what has been going on lately in Charlottesville. In particular, we have four people in jail from that, and those numbers could rise. How long they can stay in jail without really any shreds of evidence against them is hard to say, but so far they're just in jail pending hearings. And I don't know what's going on. And I say four people. I'm not even counting the driver of the vehicle, James Fields, but I was counting Chris Cantwell and the three gentlemen who are in jail over the parking lot incident.
Right. Right.
So one aspect of this is, you know, we want these people out of jail and everything, but if you go back a year ago, go back 2 years ago, I mean, 2 years ago, we had people who were like Kevin McDonald, who was on the show about a week ago, and he was pretty much a couple of years ago, he had very little hope for the future. Now things are happening, and it would have been nice to elect Donald Trump and then have him take care of everything for us, but but he has provided us with an opportunity, and you know, an opportunity for us to struggle hard and get something out of it, and hopefully that's what's going on. But how do you see this year, like this past year, with the various events, Charlottesville, at Berkeley, upcoming at Gainesville, Florida? Do you think we're going to be able to exploit this opportunity and make progress? And also, what about the setbacks, temporary that they may be, in terms of having people in jail, in terms of having websites shut down, in terms of you know, losses of freedom and whatnot? What's your take on all of this?
Oh man, where to begin? Well, first of all, what did Kevin say about hope? I didn't hear that show. What did he say? Does he now have hope? Is he optimistic?
He's optimistic now.
Okay.
2.5 years ago, beginning of 2015, he came on David Duke's show,
right,
and just seemed almost in despair.
Well, you know, I know about his past attitudes and everything, and I know he's changed. Did he tie it to any particular event or any particular, you know, the election of Trump,
well, the
rallies?
Election of Trump is a big deal,
yeah.
Because it showed that enough white people had enough awareness that they could see through the, you know, the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week anti-Trump propaganda and elect him president. Just barely, but they could elect him president. That's a big deal. And then, you know, there's other signs.
Well, I think, Kevin McDonald is a hard act to follow, even if it's in a show that you had, you know, a couple of weeks ago. He's an extraordinarily insightful and brilliant man. And I rely on his assessments, and that's one of the reasons I ask you what was his opinion. Not for my opinion. What do I think is, you know, what's going on here? I'm pretty optimistic too. I was not very hopeful years ago, but the whole Trump thing completely changed everything. There was a new awakening, among not only our people but the political people at large, white people at large. I hear it. I see it. See evidence of it. I think right now the most daunting thing we face is one of the most daunting things we face is the issues of litigation in out of Charlottesville, both criminal and civil. I discussed this morning on Stormfront Radio the two civil actions filed against our people who were there, both of which I think are totally frivolous, but it's going to take some money to fight them, and it's going to take some resolve. This is a war. And thank God we're still at the stage of that war where we can fight it by sending in money orders and checks, and we don't have to actually go out and start shooting people. If we win in the courtroom, if we win with the written and the spoken word, that reduces the chance that we will at some point in time have to take it to a different level, if for no other reason than these people are going to start coming to our homes and kicking in doors and killing us in our homes. Some of them have already said so. So I think there is cause for optimism. I think the tide is turning. I think we can come out of this if we can keep our wits about us and hold the line. A man in this movement for whom I have enormous respect is a lawyer, Sam Dixon. He's done great legal work for our people. And I anticipate he's probably going to do more, but he made reference to a great white hero named Horatio Nelson, a man who was involved. He was an admiral in the British Navy, the Royal Navy. And as I understand Sam's telling of this, as he lay dying on his ship, having won a battle for his country in a war against France, he said, "Thank God I did my duty." And a lot of us are going to have to be willing to do our duty now. And that means man the lines on talk radio. It means writing, but it also means donating financially to these legal fights that are going to come up. I hate to ask money for people for money. For lawyers, especially. I've never been a big fan of litigation as a means of attacking for our side, because it is so expensive and you never know what the outcome will be. However, when you are sued, when you are attacked, you have no choice but to fight back. We cannot allow ourselves to be defaulted. These litigations in Charlottesville, one in state court, one in federal court. The people who are listed on as defendants are who's who of our movement. The bravest and some of the bravest and boldest of our people are named: Jason Kessler, Richard Spencer, Chris Cantwell, Vanguard America, Andrew Anglin. Andrew Anglin was on the other side of the world, yet they named him. Matt Heimbach, Matt Parrott. We got a Michael Hill, League of the South. I'm sure he's a fine hero who's well known to many of your people. Look, this is not a lawsuit merely against these people. This is a lawsuit against every single white person in this country who wants to speak out for white survival and white existence. All of us are going to be on trial in this case. Would that I were licensed in Virginia. Would that I could play a more active role in the defense, but I'm not, so I'm probably going to be limited to answering some phone calls and giving a little advice here and there based on many years of litigation in the courts. I've been advised that there are lawyers lined up who are pro-movement, movement-oriented lawyers. They are willing to they're not in this to make a buck. They don't have any illusions that they're going to get rich off this case. They do have a belief, a vision, that we may be able to make a victory for our own people in this case. So Charlottesville, the Battle of Charlottesville is not over. The Battle of Charlottesville is going to be a historic battle, I believe, in the history of the fight for white survival. I believe this battle will continue into the future, and the battle we're fighting here is not so much the battle over whether these people collect damages or not. And some of these damage claims, the most important action is about 8 or 9 individual plaintiffs. One of them is suing because he had a stroke 2 days after the event. Another one has witnessed the car crash, and now this person has a pathological fear of black Dodge Challenger vehicles. And 4 of these people have not even sued under their real names. They've sued under the name John Doe. I've heard of Doe defendants. I've never heard of Doe plaintiffs. Generally, if you file a lawsuit, you have to disclose your name, your real name. You and absent a protective order, or, you know, you're a child and you've been abused, and then you have to file your lawsuit through a guardian ad litem. So this is very, very strange. We'll have to do some looking into that. But that's how cowardly these people are. I mean, they wear masks on the street when they attack us, and now when they come to an open courtroom to attack us in court, they come under phony names, fictitious names. That's how scared, how timid, how cowardly, how pathetic these people are. You know, this person here who's suing to be compensated because she has a fear of Dodge Challenger vehicles. You know, I know thousands of white children that have been beaten up by blacks and Mexicans. Gee, where's the compensation for those children, huh? Where's the compensation for all the white people that have been victimized by black and Mexican criminals? The 30,000 white women that get raped every year by black men. Are they entitled to express a fear of black people after that happens to them? I mean, if you can be pathologically afraid of black Dodge Challenger automobiles, why not black killers and rapists?
Mm-hmm. I wonder, after Brown versus the Board of Education and the desegregation of schools, what the percentage of white school children who have been beaten up unprovoked by blacks at least once is. I mean, I know I have. I've been robbed, beaten up. I've walked through a black neighborhood and had rocks and bricks thrown at me by children as their parents watched on from porches. So there you go. But I want to get back to our subject, media. So we have a media like we have here on RBN, and this is really the foundation of everything. We've had the media for a while, since the internet. It's an internet-based media, but it's growing and it's important. And then recently, we're having these street actions where we're going out and not just being a media presence, but being a physical presence, you know, trying to show our numbers, trying to show our good behavior. And there's, you know, people have different opinions about whether or not this is effective. Now we're moving into this court era. And, you know, with the media, as well as our narrative strong enough, how powerful is our narrative on the street? It can be. Sometimes it winds up being, well, how powerful are our fists, our people, because we get attacked. And, you know, there were some events, I guess, in Sacramento where we had been attacked, and then elsewhere where we'd been attacked and we're successfully able to defend ourselves physically. Although now in Charlottesville, the mere act of defending yourself from black attackers who have attacked with flamethrowers and one of these giant flashlights that, you know, is only useful as a club in the middle of the day. It obviously wasn't brought because of its illuminatory function. To defend yourself against blacks has put three of our people in jail. So it's moving into the courts. And I ask you, Don Adler, because you obviously have more experience with this than I do, but in a court, unlike in the media and unlike in most street brawls, there has to be a judgment made, a determination of who's right and who's wrong. And how much faith can we have that right and wrong are going to prevail at these trials?
Well, right prevailed when Jason Kessler, the organizer of Unite the Right, went to court. He got a court order that ordered the city to allow this rally to go forward. There was a favorable ruling in Auburn, Alabama, that allowed Richard Spencer to speak there. I've won cases in courts on behalf of white nationalist people who have been accused of hate crimes and things like that. I think we have a good chance to win. And it's not always, you know, the merits or the legal technicalities of the case. Very often it is the narrative that you said. I think there's a public relations issue here, too, in addition to just the courts. Now, I don't have quote unquote faith in very much of anything, but I think we have a fighting chance in the courts, the federal court there. There's a federal judge. And wouldn't it be nice if we could get all these cases consolidated before the same federal judge who ruled in our favor on August 11th, 2017? There is possibility of that happening because these cases derive from a common set of facts, common set of legal issues, and common parties. So there is a possibility that that will happen. Whether I have any faith in it or not, this is the battle that has been forced upon us. This is the battle we have to be prepared to fight. This, and we have to be prepared to fight it with the written word and the spoken word and the checkbook and money. You know, I hate to raise the vulgar subject of money, but, you know, when you're sitting in that slave labor camp or you're about to be lined up and shot, maybe you'll look back and say, gee, if I had sent in $20, maybe I could have headed this off. I know that sounds crass, materialistic, and melodramatic, and sensational, but that is the reality that we face. And they discuss this in these lawsuits. They say the white nationalist movement, the neo-Nazi movement, blah, 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 is moving off the internet into the real world. They say that in these two lawsuits, and they quote extensively from tweet messages and you know, online chat things. People need to be a little more discerning in what they say online, you know, the use of racial epithets and stuff like that. I think that might be a little more helpful to us. But the point is, they understand. The enemy understands that this is a hugely significant event. People say, you know, what do you think about the significance of this event? And there are some people have said, oh, Charlottesville was a total wipeout. We should never have gone there. Jason Kessler is a fifth columnist, and he set us up. Jason Kessler did nothing of the sort. Jason Kessler complied with the letter of the law, got a permit, went to court, got a favorable ruling. It's not the fault of Jason Kessler that white people do not have the protection of the law in Charlottesville, Virginia, or in Berkeley, California, or in San Jose, California, or Chicago, or any number of other major cities in this country. Jason Kessler is a very brave and heroic man, in my view. So let's disabuse that notion. But this is the enemy. You know, we ask each other, you know, what did Kevin McDonald think? What does Don Advo think? What does David Duke think? And what do we all think? Let's focus for 1 second on what our enemies think. They think they have to deny us the protection of the law, the First Amendment, right of free assembly, right of free speech, probably other rights as well. We've seen a denial of the right to bail, the right to reasonable bail. So they are afraid. They sense that this is a historic moment. They have this sense. And one of the lawsuits is an injunction stopping militias from coming in and training like military groups or something. And I don't want to get heavily into the technicalities of that. But in there, they acknowledge the fact that in May, in July, and in September, the alt-right came in, did a rally at the park, and there was no violence.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
We don't cause violence. We try to avoid violence. We try to avoid conflict with these people. It is these people who hunt us down and seek us out and seek to destroy our right to speak, our right to be heard, our right even to traverse a public street. So this is the way that, and you read their own pleadings, and they admit these facts.
Okay.
Play music.
That's great music. So we'll be back after the break. This is
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com.
TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Okay, we are back. This is National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Attorney Don Advo. We're talking legal talk now, and of course we've got some trials coming up. We've got some court appearances. We've got Chris Cantwell, who's been in jail for going on 2 months now for having sprayed pepper spray back at somebody who was spraying pepper spray at him, although the person who's actually filed the complaint against him wasn't the person who got pepper sprayed, but just some transvestite transsexual and Antifa person. So that the evidence, there's video evidence that seems to be in support of Chris Cantwell's position, but he can't even get, I guess, a preliminary hearing. I'm not sure of all of the legal terms. We've got these three people, and maybe it's going to be even more for a fourth person, perhaps, but you've got these three people in jail for the incident in front of the parking garage where you had the black guy with, who had earlier been using the flamethrower against people, and he assaulted someone, and then DeAndre Harris, his friend, assaulted someone. So you had these two blacks who were attacking whites, and there's clear video evidence that the blacks were attacking the whites, but the one black guy, DeAndre Harris, got a little bit beat up. And so the people who had subdued him are in jail. So you got these cases, then you've got the two lawsuits that you were talking about, and then of course there's the James Fields case, which is going to be the one that gets the most attention. But these other ones, to have decisions, which, you know, how can you have the decisions not going our way when there's all this video evidence? And the reason these people are in jail as long as they are is because the courts aren't willing to look at any evidence yet, but they will have to when the trial come. So what is this going to do? And especially with Fields, who has been made into a international villain, and, you know, whether he was guilty of reckless driving or certain other crimes, in my opinion, I'm not a legal expert, but in my opinion, to pin a murder rap on him is going to be really, really tough. And what's going to happen if these court cases, and I guess we're talking about five at this point, if they're going our way, what's that going to do when you have courts of law that are determining that our side is right, and that these accusations that have been made and echoed in the press are false?
Well, you've got two different types of cases: criminal cases and civil cases. In the civil cases, I think the litigants have a little more control over what happens. Whereas in the criminal cases, you have a speedy trial, and they generally tend to come to trial more quickly. Where civil cases can languish for a long time, and sometimes people get tired and move on. The Fields thing is very different. He's in a very different situation from all the rest of us. His accident occurred an hour and a half after the rally was declared illegal, and people were starting to leave. And so he's presumably he has automobile insurance. Now, the automobile insurance, if he has it, will provide a defense with civil actions, because he's been sued for negligence and personal injury and that kind of thing. So his insurance company will have to defend him on those. So we don't want to be associated with Fields in any event. We have completely different legal interests. In one of the civil cases, they're trying to impute automobile, his driving, his conduct to all the rest of everybody else, notwithstanding that the rally had been over for an hour and a half and people were going long since vacated the area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to pick up where you left off when we come back from the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Okay, and we are back. So we have been talking, you have been talking about James Field's interests being different from ours.
Right.
You noted that his car accident happened an hour and a half after the rally had been declared, you know, broken up. And that there are these suits that are trying to give responsibility for his driving conduct to the organizers.
Impute it. Yeah, they want to impute that to the whole rally. They say that was part of the conspiracy. They conspired to bring hate, violence, and intimidation to citizens, and that was part of the conspiracy. So, it's a really weird lawsuit. I mean, the personal injury case is very strange. These people are just weirdos and crackpots. I mean, the ones that he ran into and broke their legs, yeah, I mean, they got a lawsuit. But if somebody runs over you with a car, yeah, you sue, but you sue under your own name. I mean, what's the big deal, you know? Even you hide your identity.
Well, so here's the question is, you know, there were people that he hit with the front of the car and people he hit with the rear of the car.
Yeah.
And the most obvious person he hit with the front of the car was this black guy who kind of flew up over the roof and then came down and then jumped on the hood of a truck in order to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And it was backing up and then just seemed to trot off. So I wouldn't think he's the one with the legs broken. there was somebody behind the car who, when the car came to a stop, ran up right behind it, started smashing it. Well, there were a few people. There was about six people who started attacking it, and at least three from behind. And one who was on the passenger side, like by the passenger side tail light, when the car started backing up, that person, who I think is a transsexual, was rolled off, but was more or less pinned between Fields' car and a parked car on the side of the road. And I know that person was getting a lot of emergency treatment. Now, if you're an Antifa, a masked Antifa, and if there was somebody who has a broken leg who is suing under a Jane Doe or John Doe name, and I don't know which that person would want to use, I would assume it's that person who was on the taillight with the baseball bat. How's that person going to be able to sue if he slash she was attacking the car with a baseball bat and there's all this video evidence of it?
Well, you can sue if you can pay the filing fee and file a case. That's really all it takes to sue. I mean, the other issue is I don't know.
How could he possibly win?
Well, I mean, how did OJ get acquitted? You know, you get the right jury and things, you know, go well for you. I don't know. I mean, it's all going to play out in the case. But I just look at some of these people. They're such crackpots. And I think, and here's a guy who had a stroke, you know, 2 days later. I mean, to whom do you impute that? Maybe he should be suing the police department for failure to provide police protection. You know, maybe he should be suing this goofball reverend because they talked about meetings at the church where they were planning all this strategy out. That sounds like a military operation to me. They had a meeting at the church and they agreed they would commit crimes and they agreed that they would be arrested for those mm-hmm. crimes. So, you know, there's a cross claim. Mm-hmm. A civil rights cross claim against this goofball reverend. Mm-hmm. And maybe against his church too, because they allowed their church to be used as a meeting hall for people to conspire to commit crimes. And he's openly admitted this in his pleadings. And this is astonishing to me. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, you know, I went there to peacefully protest and I was willing to be arrested. Well, if you're willing to be arrested, it means you're willing to commit a crime. You see, they don't. I think these people are really super vulnerable. I think this is really a really weird case. I think it's a very weak case in many ways because the people are such lunatics. But you've got a huge narrative here and you've got a huge amount of popular perception against which, you know, you have to kind of swim against the current. Lincoln once very famously said, you know, widely spread beliefs, whether right or wrong, cannot be safely disregarded. And we have to keep that in mind as we're fighting this war, this war, very much a public relations war, very much a war of the written and the spoken word. But the point that I think is very important, as you know, we all do this soul searching and how are we doing, and we talk among each other. Here you've got lawsuits filed based on the express premise, on the expressed allegation in these pleadings that this is a significant move when these people are moving offline onto the street into the so-called real world. They think this, they're scared to death, and they think this is hugely significant. But of course they think it's significant when a swastika is painted on a school and then later it turns out to be a black person who painted it there. So, you know, they're not exactly the most reliable people, but you know, they've got a couple of law firms here, major law firms. This is not just the raving of some crackpots. They've got significant institutional money backing these people up. Doesn't mean they can't be beaten. It means it has to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to give out our call-in number in case anybody wants to call in with questions for Attorney Don Advo. Our number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Now, on yesterday's show, I had Eric Stryker, and he talked briefly about the possibility of bringing a complaint or I guess it would be a complaint to the Justice Department, because white people are the civil rights of white people are not being upheld. Do you see any kind of possibility for something like that?
I don't know. I think the possibilities are pretty slim. My God, I mean, it's to even come out in favor of free speech is a highly controversial thing today. I don't see much hope for that. I think we're going to have to fight our way out of this ourselves. But the important thing here, not just winning the case, is shaping the narrative. Is shaping the narrative. See, here's the interesting thing. These cases, and I want to emphasize this, you know, we have a problem finding a forum where we can speak. They try to deplatform us on the internet, deplatform us in the streets, deplatform us at colleges, universities. They can't deplatform us in court. Okay? Mm-hmm. They cannot deplatform us in a court of law. Federal judge isn't going to sit still for these idiots coming in there with their banners and their signs and, you know, their chanting and their bullshit. They're not going to tolerate that. So, in a certain sense, they've moved this battle into a forum where we've got a fighting chance. They can't silence us. They can make motions and evidentiary objections and all that kind of thing. But in my experience, the courts are pretty fair. You got a federal judge here. He's appointed for life. He doesn't care. He's not relying on the Charlottesville city council to fund his pension or his paycheck. He's not even relying on the state of Virginia. He's relying on the federal government. So he doesn't screw them. I mean, I always try to litigate civil rights issues against, you know, government entities in federal courts if I can, because you go in the superior courts, you know, they're funded by the state of California. Their funding depends on the financial success of the state. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You sue the school district, for example, in a state court, you know, you're going to get screwed. They're always on the side of the public entity. I know lawyers who used to do a lot of that kind of work, and it never worked out well for them in state court. But here we've got a shot at a good federal judge. We got a good shot here. I've never been a big fan of litigation before, but this litigation has been forced on us. We didn't choose this. Mm-hmm. They chose, and I think this could very well be a serious blunder on their part. Serious blunder because of that reason. They cannot deplatform us. You can take the deposition of this goofball minister. Mm-hmm. You make him answer questions. You can take the deposition of the police. They mention a police chief. Quote him. You can take his deposition. He's got to sit there, answer questions under oath, and you can do a video deposition. Boy, that video deposition, God knows where that can end up, huh? YouTube, the internet, mm-hmm. 60 Minutes,
yeah.
The mayor. What, wouldn't you like to depose that guy?
Yeah.
I think Jason Kessler dealt with the cops, and there were representations made to him. They were going to mm-hmm. work with him. They were going to provide the protection of the law, keep the groups separate so that there wouldn't be this kind of thing, and the cops did nothing. So maybe we need to sue the cops for fraud.
Okay. Okay, well, let's go to callers now. We've got cool. Reese from New York. Reese, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Slattery and Don. I got a few thoughts on that as far as going to court and winning successfully, which I don't doubt could happen if we had an honest jury of fair-minded Americans. Now, there's two problems to that. One is the feds could stack the jury or just put a couple of plants in there. That's number one option. Number two is, do you remember Federal Judge Patrick Fitzgerald, gentlemen? That name ring a bell?
Yeah, from New York. I remember him. What was he famous for?
Here's what he was famous for. He was famous for two cases. There's actually more, but two prominent ones. One was the death of John Kennedy Jr. in Martha's Vineyard when he went into the drink that time with his plane. Remember, he's on his way to Martha's Vineyard. What happened was there was recorded phone calls that were in the White House that they actually heard recorded phone calls on setting him up for elimination. This was at the time that Hillary was running for New York State Senator. And they also have photographs of a well-known Mossad assassin one of the most feared assassins in their history, very close to his plane where it was kept prior to takeoff, where the plastic explosives were planted with an altimeter bomb. But what happened was they had that. They had phone calls that were tapped between prominent politicians. And Clinton was involved, Bush, I believe Henry Kissinger was involved, and they wanted to take him out. What happened was that case went to federal prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, and he conveniently put it inside of a file cabinet where no one would ever see it again. So you see, these are two major problems that you have in getting a, you know, and I believe these guys would be acquitted in Charlottesville if it was an honest jury and they weren't like stacked with Black Lives Matter or an Antifa protest. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's always easy to come up with reasons why we can't win. And I've heard this this kind of thinking in our movement for a long time. I've gone to court and I won for white nationalists. Won summary judgment motions without even going to trial. I got one white guy out of a deal. It was a typical deal where a bunch of whites, you know, chased down a black guy or something at a party out in the desert, a beer drinking party, and you know, it was just I don't know what the real cause of it really was. Everybody was drinking and acting like idiots, and yet it was and my guy didn't even live in the state at the time. He'd moved out of the state a year before that, so he wasn't even there. So, I mean, in theory, it was an easy case to win, but cases can be won. They can be.
John,
we shouldn't say because Fitzgerald did something wrong, we should give up hope and do nothing.
No, that's actually, Don, you are attempting to paint me in a way that is very inappropriate based on what my commentary was. All I'm saying is this is realistic and this has happened. Now, the case you're pointing to is a Mickey Mouse case of no real significance. I'm talking about when it matters, like when they take out the front runner for the New York State Senate that would have won in a landslide for the presidency had he become a senator.
Write your research and write your book, okay?
Okay,
that's
we're going to...
This is now.
All right, we'll go on to our next caller. Thanks for your call, Reese. This is going to be Fred from Pennsylvania. Fred, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I think it's the first time I've called in, and I didn't catch the last name of the attorney gentleman. Don, what's the last name?
Advo, A-D-V-O.
Okay. I mean, you speak very well, and I want to agree with you on the need to defend vigorously these civil suits. And I just respectfully want to say that we still have to keep our eyes and keep our efforts on the issues, the political issues and the legislative issues, because, correct me if I'm wrong, still it's a matter of, you know, Americanism surviving, the best people in the country being able not to be overwhelmed over time. And I don't feel bad about saying that. Americanism is the culture that needs to be kept alive. I don't think that's a obsolete notion. And we have to stay focused on the political issues. And we can make this a political issue, winning in the courts, I guess.
Well, the two issues are closely related, because what happens in the courts is going to have a very powerful impact on the narrative and the political issues. You're absolutely correct that we can't lose sight of everything else, but we have to understand that this issue, the court issue, this is a platform. This is a place we cannot be deplatformed, is the courts. We can take depositions, we can take video depositions and force these people to answer questions under oath. That's a powerful thing.
No, Now, Don, I want to go into the fact about this seems to happen over in years before, where the local police seem to, or I don't know how to characterize them as just the local police, but the police forces seem to put themselves in back of the counter protesters, the violent counter protesters, Antifa, etc. Not between left and right, but in back of the left. And they did that with the Jason's press conference too.
That's
where
cool.
They're. I want to stay over. I want to hold over, please.
Okay, we'll be back after the break.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Last segment of the show. This is a short segment. It's less than 4 minutes long. Jerry, you asked to be held over. I will just say, I'm sorry, Fred. We do have one other caller waiting to come on, but Fred, why don't you finish up your thoughts?
Okay. We have to gather examples on of the behavior of others at at these free speech events, as well as the, I think after Charlottesville you had it, was it in Ohio or somewhere, there was another event where you had people with baseball bats attacking a car, and mm-hmm. then it had to speed up, and then there was some legal, there were some sort of charges or something about that. Mm-hmm. And there has to be a coordination, not focusing on the, us versus them, but just rights based on rights, and then gathering examples and gathering allies on the right to speak out, because that's why you have groups going public in demonstrations, because we want to increase our membership. It's not to get into fights. It's to increase our membership and making clear that we're right and we do have the right mm-hmm. to speak out publicly. That's why you have meetings, and that those will continue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Well, thank you very much, Fred. Please call back again. And finally, we will go to Jerry in Chicago. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I'll make this quick. Don, I've been listening to you on Stormfront now for about 3 years. I've never called in. But thanks for your contribution. I've learned a lot. My question is if you've got a Jew-run Congress, a Jew-run Senate, a Jew-run president, and you've got a Jew-run media, what makes you think that you're going to get a fair trial in a Jew-run courtroom?
Well, because the courtroom isn't necessarily Jew-run. You don't know that. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I've won cases on behalf of white nationalist people, and I know other lawyers who have as well. Sam Dixon, they won. This is the same courthouse where we got the injunction to stop the city from preventing the Charlottesville rally to go forward. We can win. I mean, not everything is controlled by the Jews. Mm-hmm. They don't control and micromanage every little thing, and don't wait 3 years before you call again, Jerry. You can call
okay,
more often
well,
than every 3 years.
Once I get the number for Stormfront, I might call again. Thank you very much. You guys have cool. a gorgeous day.
You too, Jerry.
You too, buddy.
So, Don, so your point is we don't know who the judge is going to be, and there's been a judge, the judge that heard the case challenging the injunction, sided already once with the rally organizers. He granted
the injunction.
He
granted the injunction. There was a federal judge in Auburn, Alabama, a few months ago, who granted an injunction in favor of our people down there. So we've won battles in the courts.
So I mean, so you can say, okay, we've got three Jews on the Supreme Court, but that doesn't mean that any court you walk into is going to be Jew run. The judge runs the court. Is that your point?
That's my point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our opponents have power resources, but they're not all powerful. And, to say, well, we've got the truth on our side is kind of cliche, but people, I mean, there is a reality that's around people. The average person's reality and experiences are in contradiction to the narrative of the Jewish media, and that is something that is, on our side.
I agree.
Okay, I am hearing our swan song. We will be back again tomorrow, and our guest tomorrow is going to be Dr. David Duke, so please be sure to tune in.
Expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.